The Leach Report Radio Network is on the air with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. Join in with the rest of Big Blue Nation to get the latest insights and opinions on your Kentucky Wildcats from an all-star lineup of guests. If you have a question for Tom or one of our guests, tweet him to @LeachReport or email to LeachReport@gmail.com. And you can call toll-free anywhere across the Commonwealth of Kentucky at 877-904-1080. Now, here's Tom.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into the Thursday edition of the Leach Report, live from the Bahamas, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. And we are happy to have you on board, and we have a game to talk about today. The Cats played last night in their exhibition opener. A little rough at times. At one point early in the second half, it was a tie game, but Kentucky ends up winning, going away by 24, 85 to 61 over the Bahamas Select team. They will play tonight against San Leandro, which is one of the better teams in Argentina, so it should be a tougher challenge for the Wildcats tonight. Coming up on the show today to talk about that and more, Mike Pratt, who always joins us on Thursdays, Jeff Drummond from Cats Illustrated, and we will also hear a little post-game sound from Tyler Hero, one of the stars of the Kentucky win last night, and we'll also hear from Benny Snell as Kentucky football marches toward that September 1st opener. Guest lineup each day is presented by Sleep Outfitters. Let's get to the Wildcat News of the Day, a service of Cardinal Point Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. Kentucky jumped out to a 13-0 lead, was up 7 at half, and then the Bahamas team got ahead by a point, and then but the 15-minute mark, it was 45-all, and from there Kentucky went on a 22-4 run to blow it open. There was one point where Mike and I were looking at stats at a media timeout, and Kentucky had 8 assists and 8 turnovers after like a 6-2 ratio early in the game. And they were tied in the rebounding, and both of those stats were not very positive ones. Well, they end up with a plus 12 in the rebounding, and they end up with 13 assists to 8 turnovers. So from that point on, which I'm guessing that was around the 8 or the 12 media timeout, they didn't have another turnover. So they did play much better down the stretch. Nick Richards, one of the stars, he had 19 points in the game last night. Tyler Hero with 16. He was the one guy who shot it the best. A lot of guys shot it very poorly. Travis Reed, 2 out of 8. P.J. Washington, 3 out of 9. Quade Green, 1 for 11. 3 for 15 for Keldon Johnson. So you got to think those kinds of numbers are going to turn out to be aberrations over the course of the season, to be outliers. Kentucky was 2 of 20 on threes, and I remain confident this is going to be a much better three-point shooting team, but you couldn't make that case off the performance last night. We'll get into all this with Mike when he joins us here in just a bit. A couple of other pieces of news. Oh, a couple things with Cal. He talked about Nick Richards and Nick working with Bob Rotella, the sports psychologist, the very famous sports psychologist who is a good friend of Cal's, and he has him work with his players all the time. And Nick Richards in particular is getting some extra work, and Nick said that it has really paid off for him, that he talks to Bob weekly, half hour or more, and that it's really helping him. Ashton Hagans, really good defensively last night. And Cal said that in transition, they tried to make the hardest play too often rather than just the easy play. And that's a point that he emphasizes a lot in practices, and they'll be hearing a lot about, I'm sure, today in advance of their game against the team from Argentina. Khalil Whitney is committed to Kentucky. That was certainly no surprise to anyone. He's a guy that really has exploded late. The major changes announced for college basketball yesterday by the NCAA might affect a player like Whitney in the future. They say elite players can have agents now, but who defines what elite is? They said it'll be USA Basketball's call, and then later today, the story came out that USA Basketball doesn't want the job. Players that are invited to the combine can return to school if they're undrafted, but what if you're drafted late in the second round? You're stuck, as opposed to being undrafted. Guy like Whitney, who explodes late, would he have been one of those guys classified as an elite player? Just a lot of things that we don't know the answer to yet. PGA Championship is underway. The marquee threesome today is Justin Thomas, Tiger Woods, and Rory McIlroy. They tee off in 12 minutes, and in the group right behind them is J.B. Holmes of Kentucky. And that's being played out in St. Louis. Links to the stories that we talk about each day can be found on the Bud Light Leach Report page. That's at TomLeachKY.com. It's the Leach Report live from the Bahamas. Mike Pratt joins us when we come right back.
It's the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Coming up next, it's Kentucky Sports Radio with Matt Jones.
Welcome back to the Bahamas. Mike Pratt joins us here on the Leach Report Radio Network. His weekly visits are brought to you by Boone's Butcher Shop in Bardstown. Check them out at boonesbutchershop.com. Well, I said in the opening segment there, Mike, this is going to be a better shooting team. I'm confident, but you couldn't make the case off last night. Is that just a new venue, too keyed up from the trip, bad night? What do you attribute it to?
Maybe a little bit of all of those, Tom. You know, this is a team that's got to get a handle on how they play together, where their best shots come from. That's really important in the offense. I thought they were overly selfish. I don't know what Cal had to say to you about it. He wanted them to pass the ball, and I think they did that. In some cases, they passed up good looks that you'd want them to take. And every arena, gym, small palace like we're playing in is a little different look with the lights for a shooter, and you never know. So look, this team has a lot of talent, but Big Blue Nation better just relax and let this team be polished. This team is not polished. This is not a made for primetime team right now on where they are now. Where they can be, yes, they're a primetime. But they've got to get there first. And last night it showed that they have some flaws that need polishing. Cal sees it. I mean, this is what you play these games for.
Absolutely. You know, there was one time I remember, it may have been Higgins, went to the basket, and it was a perfect opportunity for a little pull-up. And he tries to get all the way to the rim. And you saw other guys do that too. Things that they could have easily done, I'm sure, in high school and in all-star games where guys don't challenge you defensively and you get in real games and they do. That, you know, I said, you know, well, why not a little pull-up there? And
yep.
You were faster than any player saying amen. I mean, just the little things like that where guys will make better decisions over time. It's got to be the error, the trial. It comes with error a lot of times before you figure it out.
That's so true, and I think you can point, and I want to point out two players to your statement. But Calipari even said it to you. I think post game, I was reading the notes. I didn't hear.
Actually, we didn't talk. He was just doing a media session. We had the abbreviated post game show, so we didn't do any coaches stuff on the post game.
He said that wherever he was, that he wants these guys to forget about the misses and the mistakes.
Yeah,
play through them is sometimes the terminology you hear. And, you know, personally, I think he's an easy guy to play for because he's not going to jerk you on a mistake. He's going to try to be positive and reinforce your confidence. As a player, man, that's important. That is really important. And I think he's very good at that. These guys have to understand that this game, tonight's game, Saturday, Sunday, aren't the last games of the year. Okay, you're learning, you're trying to learn to grow your game, and you're going to make some mistakes trying to grow your game. This guy, John Calipari, is going to let him make some mistakes, okay? And he's going to live with it. He's going to encourage him to do different things. So I just look at that game as a good starter, Tom. It's a point in the measuring stick for the year. Duke will be a great measuring stick for both teams. Duke and Kentucky, opening game, is a tough spot to play. Two teams that good with that much potential down the road, but it's a great measuring stick. And that's all coaches, that's how you coach. You measure against your last game the development of players.
We'll talk more about that matchup certainly as we get closer, but I heard somebody referencing it the other day, and the thing that it came to me is these, it could well be the top two teams in the country. It will be in some polls.
Yes.
The last time I could remember the top two teams in the country, and it may have happened since, but the one time I can remember that opened the season, the very first game, was the year NC State was coming off probation with David Thompson and that crew, and they were number two, and UCLA was defending champs from 74 season.
Yep.
And UCLA was one, NC State was two, and they played. And UCLA crushed them, and then NC State came back and beat them in the semifinals. But the point being, both of those teams were loaded with veterans, and these will be two very young teams. And
that makes it even different, but more
absolutely.
Fun,
yeah.
More anticipation to see these young guys. You were talking about shooting. Look, we've watched Quad A. Quad A can shoot the ball.
Yeah, almost 40% three-point shooter last year.
He was 0 for 6. And I've watched Manuel Quickly. He shoots the ball really well. Last night he was 1 of 7, 1 of 3 beyond the arc. You know, 2 of 20, nothing to write home about, certainly. But out of all the shots, particularly from beyond the arc, there weren't many that would be termed bad or ill-advised.
Right.
Ill-advised shots. They were good, wide-open.
The bad
looks.
Shots were going to the rim.
Exactly,
yeah.
Particularly in transition. Calipari
yeah.
mentioned that, and we talked about it in the game that, you know, hey, you got to do something else. They had one break that was really terrific. They had a four-man break with the trailer, and the trailer scored. I mean, it was beautiful as you would draw it up. And then a couple other times guys tried to play hero ball and take it, and they didn't get it done. So that all gets cleaned up. That all gets cleaned up. You have the breakout tapes. You look at the breakout tapes. Coaches talk to you about them, and you see – and they converse with you what they want.
Mike Pratt's with us here in the Bahamas. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about Nick Richards, among other things. When we return, it's the Leach Report Radio Network. We're served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington right here in the Bahamas.
You're tuned to Talk Radio 1080 and the Leach Report. And visit TomLeachKY.com for more news and views on the Cats.
Coming up in the second half, we'll hear from Tyler Hero, a little post-game from the Kentucky freshman, Jeff Drummond from Cats Illustrated. Also, we'll hear from Benny Snell. But right now, Mike Pratt's with us for one more segment. Want to talk about the big guys. We'll start with Nick Richards. Got off to a great start. There was one time where you saw him shoot a jump hook, and he faded away from the basket, thing that he did too often last season. But that was the exception, not the rule, last night in the way that he played.
He was 6 for 6 at that point. That was his only miss. And he got in a hurry, and not against a guy that could really challenge him as high as Nick gets, and he faded and missed. He was 6 of 7. That's pretty daggone good. And, again, I'll say it over and over again, Tom, before I move to his next stat. Cats have to find a way. He has to find a way to get him to the charity stripe. This guy's 7 of 8. I mean, he has really got a sweet foul shot, okay? He came up with 2 blocks. Now, only 3 rebounds, but 2 blocks. And I think this team with 6 blocks can be a better shot-blocking team than we saw last night. That's another area they can polish. But Nick had 2 blocks. He got to the charity stripe. I thought that he played with a lot of confidence, and that's where he really struggled for the last 2 months of last season.
Now let's talk about another big. Reed Travis was a beast on the boards. Of course, there were a couple occasions where he was rebounding his own misses because he was having
yep.
such a rough night shooting it.
Well, it was a very physical game. The referees let it go, which is fine, and this team is used to international basketball. They played in the international circuit just recently, and they're going to bang and knock. You know, they're going to play hard. And there was a lot of trying to score against bodies being thrown at you, and Reed struggled with that. But I don't care if you're rebounding somebody else's shot or your own. You've got 14, and I was impressed with that. A little too many turnovers, 3 turnovers. I thought he tried to pass it out of a crowd a little late, and they worked on that just yesterday and the other day. They worked on passing out of the double team, stepping back away from the basket, giving yourself a clear view, and throwing it across the floor. They worked on that. That's something that will be cleaned up, I would imagine.
Yeah, you know, PJ, we saw him out in transition leading a break a handful of times where he would dribble at the length of the floor and had a nice pass for an assist on one of those.
He had 2 assists to go along with 10 points. Didn't shoot it as well, but he went to his go-to play, power move, drop step, face a basket, and power mm-hmm. move. He was very successful again. We saw him use that a lot last year. His offense, his shooting will improve.
He's very good at that face up in the low post. Not something you see a lot. It's something he does exceptionally well.
He understands the angle. He's going to take, when he drops steps away from the basket, faces you, he's trying to get an angle on the defender, one side or the other. He's very good at putting that shoulder and wedging himself through. He's very good at that.
NBA guys talk a lot about understanding angles.
Absolutely.
E.J. Montgomery, if you didn't hear it in our pregame interview with Cal, he mentioned that E.J.'s been battling a little bit of a back issue. He's been able to go through all the practices here and played last night, but you're probably not seeing him. Or I know you're not seeing him at his best at this time.
I watched him, and having back issues myself, I watched him twitch a little bit, move his back around. He was feeling some pain. Hey, he was 4 of 6, 6 boards, 8 points, didn't make a turnover, but didn't block a shot. And I think a lot of that probably has to do with that back, and I could tell that he was having some issues. And how about Keldon Johnson? Now, he had 7 boards, Tom, 3 offensive boards. Now, he missed some shots, 2 blocks. Man, does he play aggressively.
He is so
aggressive.
Active.
Yes.
Yeah. He's going to be – he. I see where people talk about, you know, the MKG comparison in terms of just relentless, you know, hustle, et cetera.
Sometimes when you play that way, you have to figure out how to calm yourself down. There's under control aggressiveness, and there's some guys that are out of control aggressive. You got to find a way to get back to that under control.
Tyler Hero had a big game. Everybody's looking for the comparison. I saw on Twitter somebody already compared him to Jeff Shepard. Somebody Rex Chapman. Probably best right now to just let him be a really good Tyler Hero, and then we'll figure out who he compares to. But he had Rex on last week, and he was raving about him, and I can see it in that he can certainly shoot, but there's a lot more to his game.
You know, both of those guys, Rex and Jeff, they had their own individual style and their own individual game, right? So I go along with what you're saying. Let Tyler be Tyler. But, you know, we remember Jeff Shepard as a senior. And,
yeah.
Of course, Rex was a 2-year player, and I was with Rex down with the Charlotte Hornets. So I remember Rex at different stages in his game. And, you know, I don't think it's fair to unload that on Tyler. Yeah. Let him grow. Let Tyler be Tyler. And let's see how it all shakes out. But
mid-range game.
I really do like that mid-range game. He knows how to use his body to create the shot or create space. He really does a nice job with the body against the defender.
Higgins, I'm trying to think of guys we haven't touched on yet. Higgins really impressed us defensively. You know, he's going to get a lot of deflections and be very disruptive, I think.
3 steals. Cats had 13. He had 3. Reminds me, he's got those quick hands of De'Aaron Fox, okay, and come from behind like De'Aaron did. But then he also, I told you on there, the way the aggressiveness he plays with, the power he goes with to the basket, the way he handles the ball, you know, Dirk Benefield.
Yeah.
And that's pretty daggone good. If you want to compare players, and I'm not saying he's there yet, but I really enjoy the way Dirk played.
Yeah.
One of my
I was
favorites.
A big fan of his before he even got to UK. So anybody that plays like that, I like. Quickly, one of the things Cal talked to him about was I think Higgins is going to need to probably pull in the reins a little bit at times. And quickly, Cal was pushing him to make sure he was aggressive and not playing afraid to make a mistake. So you're working with a lot of different challenges with young guys.
Polish the team. That's what Cal's got to do. He'll do the next month.
And that's going to be the theme for the remainder of our time here in the Bahamas. Thanks to Mike Pratt, as always, for joining us here on this Thursday edition of the Leach Report. We're served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. Second half of the show from the Bahamas when we come right back.
Look for the Leach Report on Facebook. Show updates, contests, and other cool stuff. Check it out today.
We're back in the Bahamas, and the Wildcats play tonight against San Leandro from Argentina. This is one of the better teams in the best league in Argentina, so it'll be a challenge. We still believe the best team that they're going to face is the team from Serbia on Saturday night, and then they'll finish up on Sunday afternoon against Team Toronto. All games, of course, heard on the UK Sports Network. We got started last night. We'll get started tonight at 6:30 Eastern Time with the pregame show. Doing a couple of different things with this exhibition tour. First, we got TJ Beisner with us on the sidelines, who I got to listen in on the pregame talk and the halftime talk, so we get some insight into that. In the pregame, we are doing a player interview. And last night we talked to Reed Travis. Not sure yet who we're going to get tonight. We talked to Cal last night. We'll probably talk to Kenny Payne on the pregame tonight since he coached the game last night. And Cal watching from the sidelines here as he did four years ago when Kentucky played down here. But he did leave his seat at one point in the second half when it got close to get in the huddle. And he said after the game the reason he did that was to make sure that Quade knew that he still needed to keep shooting. And he had a rough night, 1-for-11 from the field. But last season, one of the best shooters on the team. So you don't want him to lose his confidence. And so Cal tried to be proactive on that. One of the guys who should have gained confidence from his performance last night is freshman Tyler Hero out of Wisconsin. Played with a lot of poise, and we listened in on an interview with him after the game.
I think, you know, just working hard, the time, the amount I put into my game, I think I'm, like you said, more than a shooter. I think I displayed that a little bit tonight, but, you know, it was good. We all worked hard together tonight. We came out of the W, and it was good to get the first game by.
What are your kind of goals for this trip this week, just to end the show?
Just building with my teammates each and every day, everything that we do. You know, I said.
Real issue here in the Bahamas, so we apologize for some of those we got to deal with. And, you know, trying to do a radio show out of the country. So I think you got to hear a little bit of the Tyler Hero comments there. He was joined us on the post-game show last night. Again, just very mature. For a freshman, just handled himself with a lot of maturity, I thought. Plays a very mature game. Knows what his strengths are. Didn't shoot the three well, nor did anybody last night. But you know he can do that. But it is, I think, becoming clear that he's certainly no one-trick pony. In fact, Cal said it really wasn't the three-point shooting that was his best thing. It was the drive and pull-up, but they're trying to get him to work more on driving to the basket. And he did that, I think it may have been when the game was tied at 45. He went into the lane, got to the rim, finished through contact, and scored the bucket that put Kentucky back ahead for good. And I think that's what they want to see more of from him. They know that he can that he's a great spot-up shooter, but they want to see him be able to have more in his toolbox. We are about 22 away from the top of the hour. It's the Leach Report Radio Network. We're live from the Bahamas, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. And we're going to come back with Jeff Drummond, Cats Illustrated, talk a little bit about last night's basketball game, also some Kentucky football with Jay Drum when we return on the Leach Report.
This is where the Big Blue Nation gathers. It's Talk Radio 1080 and the Leach Report, followed by Kentucky Sports Radio.
We're back in the Bahamas and joined now by Jeff Drummond of Cats Illustrated. And, Jay, before we get to some football talk, we'll get a quick thought on what you liked and anything that was worrisome out of the basketball performance in the exhibition opener.
Oh, well, hey, Tom. Wish I was there with you.
I bet you do.
Duty calls, though, here back home. You know, you couldn't help but be impressed, I think, with the play of Nick Richards, and kind of consistent with what Coach Cal had been talking about all summer. He looks like a different player. Just the body language and the self-confidence looks completely different than what we saw at the end of last season when I think, you know, he was almost an afterthought in those last 10 games of the season. Started most of those games, went out for the tip, but after that, you know, just didn't play a whole lot. But in that first exhibition game, he was really physical and sure of himself, and you know, 19 points. What can you say about that?
You know, he had a big game early in the season last year. Had a double-double against one of the non-conference opponents at Rupp. On a save, it was like 25 points, 15 boards, and you saw a flash of what he was capable of, and then he just seemed to, as the season wore on, the second half of the West Virginia game being kind of the outlier to this, but he just steadily, you could see his confidence eroding, and it was great to see him play with a lot of confidence. And he talked about the Bob Rotella conversations. It's a guy that Cal uses a lot with it. Well, he uses every season with his team, but with some guys in particular, he has them do extra work with Bob Rotella. And Nick talked after the game about how helpful that has been to him, and just shows you the importance of what of that component, if you lose your confidence, that somebody can help you get it back, that is tremendously valuable.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, so much of the game is the mental aspect and feeling like that you're the best version you can be when you step out on the court. And I like what they've done with that with him, and just I also liked how they went to him early and often.
Good point.
I thought that was a great sign that you know, here's a guy that maybe struggled as much as anybody at the end of last season, and they come out from the get-go saying, hey, we're going to make you a priority, and you're important, and we need you. And I think that only helps boost that confidence.
Let's shift gears to a little football. You're spending a good bit of time over at the Nutter facility where the Wildcats are practicing. Yesterday was a defensive update day. I listened to some of Eddie Grand's comments from the day before when they talked to the offense. I didn't get to hear Coach House yesterday. Anything noteworthy that came out of yesterday's interviews?
They've actually mixed up the schedule a little bit this year, and they're going with House on Thursdays.
Oh, okay. So
we're
today.
We're going to hear from him in a couple of hours from now about how the defense has fared recently. But Grand, you know, his comments have been very, very positive so far, and you've got to like what you hear about the amount of veteran experience that they have around these two young guys, you know, competing for the quarterback job, and the fact that they've got so many players returning to this unit that it's really making that transition a lot easier than it could have been.
Who caught your eye in the Saturday open practice?
Well, you know, really tough sometimes in those things with just the helmets and shorts. But I think it was maybe more so than one guy was just the physicality of the entire team. Sometimes they, you know, people hear it so much they tend to think it's coach speak when they say they're bigger and stronger and faster. But when you go out and really eyeball these guys and see them stand next to them, they have really recruited some big people and developed them and done a number in the weight room.
You get the sense that they feel like maybe for the first time they're on equal footing with most of the teams that they're going to play in the SEC in that regard.
Yeah, that gap has been, you know, narrowed significantly, especially on the defensive line. I think that's the area that had to come along the furthest, and it's probably taken the longest to catch up with the rest of the SEC. But, you know, they're finally there with the depth and the size. Even with, you know, the disappointing news and the tough medical situation with Josh Pascal, they've got a bunch of guys along that defensive front that are big enough and strong enough to hold their own in the SEC.
Who's the guy, and maybe there's more than one for you, that you think makes a significant move forward this year, makes a bigger contribution? Could be a freshman, could be a veteran guy that just hadn't made a big splash yet, but anybody that's at the top of your list on either side of the ball that you think makes a real move this year?
Well, there's one guy that I'm not really sure how great the opportunity will be there because of just the guys coming back and the depth that they have, but Nasir Watkins, one of the offensive tackles, young guy on that side of the ball, I think that he's going to be really, really good if he gets his opportunity. And that's a spot where they like to use, you know, a lot of depth if they can and rotate guys. A couple of years ago, they rotated, you know, 8, 9, 10 guys at times up front. And I think you could start hearing a lot about him on the offensive side. Over on defense, I would point to T.J. Carter, a guy that came in with some strong expectations, really hasn't shown a great deal of consistency yet, but the coaches have kind of been hinting that this could be a big year for him based on, you know, what they've seen in the offseason, the commitment he's made.
How did Lynn Bowden look in that open practice to you? Did you see anything you could pick up on, albeit in you know, a non-pads situation?
It really looked like he's starting to come into his own as a wide receiver. You know, weakness, those guys, a lot of times in the recruiting game as athletes, and that was completely accurate with him when he came to UK. He was a guy that, you know, kind of a jack of all trades, master of none, and he had played very little actual wide receiver coming up in high school. But after a year in the program and having played wide receiver a few games last season for UK, you can tell that he's starting to look and feel the role. He had one play where it was about a 15-yard out pattern where he went up and snagged the ball really high, showing that athleticism off, and did the toe drag to get down with the catch. And all the fans there just kind of oohed and awed about that play.
You know, the one thing I noticed with him a lot of times, I noticed this on road trips last year, could go down on the field when a team would first get out there and start warming up, and he was doing extra work on his own, a lot of those kinds of things. Catch it, he'd have somebody throw it in the ball, or he'd catch it in the corner of the end zone or along the sideline. He was, you know, trying, you could tell he was trying to work at being a better wide receiver. So I was always impressed by that, he clearly seems to have that mindset of, you know, not just willing, but eager to put in the work to try to get really good at something.
Yeah, he has that work ethic and the mindset. And every time you talk to him, he talks about his goal, you know, of making it to the next level and making sure his dream happens. So it doesn't surprise me at all to hear the kind of stories his teammates talk about when he puts in the extra work and, you know, first one there, last one to leave type stuff.
Who do you think slides into the Denzel Ware spot at outside linebacker?
Well, Boogie Watson's the one that most people tend to think, you know, can be that type of guy. And I actually think that they may get more overall productivity out of him if he gets, you know, consistent, sustained time on the field.
Jeff, appreciate the time, and we'll see you at football practice when I get back.
All right. Tom, have fun. Safe travels.
Thank you. It's Jeff Drummond. You can read him at catsillustrated.com. We're coming up on 9:51, so 9 away from the top of the hour. Here on this Thursday edition of the Leach Report from the Bahamas. A little more football. When we come back, we're going to hear an interview I did before leaving town on Media Day with Benny Snell. And it's some really neat stuff to hear from Benny when we come right back. It's the Leach Report from the Bahamas.
This is the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can interact with the show via Twitter at Leach Report. Now, here's Tom.
Back into Bahamas, Leach Report served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. And let's hear from Benny Snell. This was an interview I did with Benny at Media Day last week.
Benny, do you think they're going to rely a lot more on you this year? Do you think that emphasis really is going to be more on a balanced offense this year?
Definitely. Definitely. We want to, that's like I said before, I want to make sure I'm hard on the receivers, hard on the quarterbacks, because it's going to make us more deadlier when we're passing and when we're running. Because I know at the overall, anytime you're scouting Kentucky, it's stop Benny Snell, and I know that. Now, with the workload on me, whether I need to do more than last year or less than last year, I'm doing whatever it takes to win the game. So if I got to be here, there, whatever, I'm doing it. But I know that if we can improve in the passing game, we'll be much more deadly, we'll be much more better. That's why I'm hard on the quarterbacks. You throw an interception, run a lap. The receivers, if you drop the ball, 10 push-ups. You know what I'm saying? You got to get better from each rep and hold each other accountable. So, yeah.
What drives you to be great?
Man, what drives me to be great? Like I said, my mom, I love my mom with all my heart. And, you know, she gives me push. She gives me drive every day. She believes in me when I didn't believe in myself. So it's mainly her. I give grace to God, of course. And that's really all I can say.
It's kind of hard to believe there was a time when you didn't believe in yourself. When was that?
Oh, man. These were high school times. These are old times. Yeah, but, yeah, it was a time. My mom was there.
What is it that, who is it that maybe you looked at as you were coming up as a running back? Anybody you tried to copy or studied or researched?
Definitely. My top study running backs, Adrian Peterson. I feel like he's one of the greatest running backs of all time because of how explosive he was. And it was just crazy how fast he could get upfield. There was a game he played for Arizona. He went for like 3 touchdowns. I watch it every day when I eat breakfast. Ezekiel Elliott's versatile. He's able to catch the ball. He's fast, and his pass protection is great. Le'Veon Bell shows his hands on the more side. I got to improve my catching now today. So you know what I'm saying, I'm trying to harp on Le'Veon a little bit more. Barry Sanders, he made people miss on open field. That was his number one thing. He yards after contact. He was able to break tackles. So those are probably like the top four I could give you that I try to harp after.
Remember when Randall Cobb was here, he talked about looking for things that were doubting him or questioning him, and that motivated him. I remember Jordan was the same way in basketball. Is it that way for you?
It definitely is. Ever since I came out of high school, I was a 3-star. I wasn't anything, you know. A few offers here and there. I went to the camps. I felt like I trained the best. I was the best running back there, but I was still a 3-star. I was still this and that. So coming in, I had a chip on my shoulder. I had to get on the field. I had to play. I wanted to make it known who I was early. So when I did that here, now it's like, oh, he's not this, he's not that. He plays for Kentucky, you know what I'm saying? So to eliminate that, it's to win games. We're going to win more games so we can get that out of here, you know? So I always got a chip on my shoulder. It's always something. I'm a thinker. I always think about something. So,
anybody else that you see that you see yourself in him as this person comes into your program or you work alongside them?
See, I'll probably say Twin, Lynn Bowden, and I'll probably say Chris. Chris Rodriguez, freshman running back. Mm-hmm. Yeah, freshman running back. He does a great job. He's picking things up early, and it's looking good.
So there was some really interesting stuff there from Penny. The thing about Chris Rodriguez right there at the end, and then you could tell they were right as that interview ended, shut off the recorder, and then Penny and Lynn Bowden were cutting up, and obviously two guys that are going to play a very pivotal role for Kentucky football this season. But you heard in that interview Benny Snell embracing a leadership role, and I guarantee you he didn't say this, but if he fumbles the ball, he's going to be either running or doing those push-ups that he talked about. Couple of other things for UK women's basketball. Freshman to be Ryan Howard was named MVP for leading Team USA to the FIBA Under-18 title. And also, I missed this one yesterday. I forgot to pass this along. Cassidy Rowe, who is a freshman at Shelby Valley, has committed to play for Matthew Mitchell at Kentucky. Obviously, it's going to be a little while before she does that, but they picked up a commitment, and they are playing an exhibition tour, but they went all the way to Italy for theirs. Round one of the PGA Championship is underway. Right now, there is a 4-way tie for the lead. It includes Jim Furyk and Ian Poulter, all at 2 under par. Justin Thomas, he is playing with Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy. And of the three, Thomas is doing the best right now at -1. That's going to do it for us. We're back here tomorrow. One more show from the Bahamas on the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington.